Sri Radharasa Janati Ki Jai, Prabhadananda Saraswati Ki Jai. Actually, today is the June 21st. And this is we're continuing a class in verse number 40. And the subject of this verse is Radha's Seva. Radha Seva eternally, or the Nitya Seva of Radharani. And I mentioned there's 3 points in this verse. One is that the verse itself glorifies Radha and Krishna, their qualities. And also it describes, that's one point. And the second point, how rare it is to attain the service of Radharani. And you see most spiritual movements, and even what to speak of entire sampradayas, their primary emphasis is on the service of Krishna. Radharani's not even there. Like in the Madhva Sampradaya, they worship Udupi Krishna, maybe you've seen in South India. And their goal is to go to Vaikuntha, not Goloka Vrindavan. They want to go to Vaikuntha, the Madhvas, and worship Krishna and Dasyaras as a servant. There's no cowherd boy idea, and there's no Gopi idea. There's Rukmini, there's Krishna, he's married, but we don't want to be his queens, he already has his queens, so we want to be his servants. House servants, or any type of servant, das, das, and adas. So that's the whole Madhva Sampradaya. And Ramanandis and the Sri Sampradaya, they want to attain the service in Dasyava of Sita and Ram, or Lakshmi and Narayan. So Radha and Radha Krishna Yugal, Upasana, the worship of Radha and Krishna together, and the attainment of Goloka Vrindavan and the Brijvasis and Brijabhav as a coward boy or as in the mood of a mother, or to speak of Sakis, his lovers, or the maidservants of the Sakis, handmaidens, the Manjaris, Kinkaris. That's unique. It's unique and special to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So this is, we should understand that somehow we stumbled into this by the causeless mercy of Bhagavan Gauranga. We're born a few moments after his Leela 500 years ago. So, but in general, it's very rare to attain this fortune. So that's the second point. And the other point is that most of these verses are crying for seva, hankering, desiring, and crying for the seva of Radharani in a very beautiful way. First, defining the goal. The goal is what? Krishna. And qualities about Krishna. Why he's worthy to attain. And why he's worthy to strive for. And then Radharani, her qualities. And their qualities together. And then praying that for somehow we'll get that fortune. So these are 3 points. We covered some. This is the verse. Tasya para rasasara vila samurte. Ananda kanda paramadbhuta saumya lakshmiya brahmadi durgamagater brishabhanu jaya kaikarnya meva mama janmani janmani syat. We covered this first line that Radharani is the Vilas Murti. She's the Vilas, the Madhurya Vilas, Madhurya Rasa Vilas, Madhurya Rasa Vilas Murti. She's the very form of Krishna's erotic bliss and enjoyment together. She's the ultimate consort and the topmost of all Krishna's beloveds in Vrindavan. And Krishna is the Apara Rasasar. He's the Apara, the transcendental one. The Apara means no limit. He's an unlimited ocean of ras and bliss and joy and ecstatic rapture. And he's the essence of all that. He's the essence of all that. So that Rasaraj meets with that Mahabhav, Radharani. She's the Mahabhav Vilasmurti, and he's the Apara Rasa Sara. So when they come together, there's lots of ecstatic bliss, inconceivable. So then the second line, we're discussing Ananda Kanda Paramadvukta Somya Lakshmiya. So this is where we're at. We're discussing about Paramanand and how Krishna is always blissful. He's the pinnacle of transcendental bliss, and the Vedas and Shrutis, they describe Krishna as Ananta Anandam and Anandam Brahma Rupam. Brahma, or Param Brahma, God. God is bliss. Why does anyone come to a spiritual movement? Because they want two things. Well, it could be three or four. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvida Bhajate Mam Jana Sukriti Arjuna. And in the fourth chapter, Krishna himself is explaining, I'm God. And do you know different kinds of people come to me? There's people like this, and there's people like that. Some people come because they're poor, and they want some benefit. Some people come to me because they're miserable, and they just want some mental peace and some relief. And some people are curious about what is God, and some people are dead serious about realizing me. There's four types, so we can figure out which one we are. Maybe a combination of all four. We're poor. If we come to this town, we may get rich, you know, if you're from an Indian village. But generally, that aspect is not there in the spiritual movement. So the general, most people that are cultured and civilized and somewhat economically okay, they approach God for peace and freedom from anxiety, which means happiness. What is happiness? It's the removal of distress. I'm distressed. I'm unhappy. So if God, somehow I'm trying happiness to get happiness this way or that way. And everyone knows that you can look around the world and see the unlimited varieties of ways in which people are trying to attain happiness. And maybe you or I also tried in those ways and weren't very successful. So we turn to God. So he's Paramananda, pinnacle of transcendental bliss, Paramananda. But, that's a big but without Radharani, then she's the Vilasmurti. You may be, I'm very happy. So Krishna says, I'm the embodiment of happiness. I'm Paramananda Rupam. Ananda Brahma, Ananda Brahma Rupam. I'm the very form. Brahma means transcendence. I am transcendental bliss. But can you have a party of one person? I'm going to have a party. Oh, who's coming? Me. Anybody else? No? Well, that's interesting. What kind of party is that? You're just gonna look. You're gonna hold a mirror in front of yourself, get a full-length mirror, and look and dance around with the mirror. Oh, and then hug the mirror and whatever. What are you gonna do? You're gonna sit the mirror next to you. You know, mirror. You know, you're gonna put it next to you on the couch, and you sit there and have a conversation. Well, what do you think of Australian cricket team? Oh, well, they're not that good, but sometimes in their own home field they can play better. You know, but if they come to Delhi, we'll smash them. You know, so you're having a conversation with a mirror. Obviously, it's ridiculous. It's a fool's proposal. So Krishna is thinking, he is bliss, but bliss has to extend itself, express itself, and take the form. So his bliss, Krishna's unlimited Ananda Brahma Rupa, he's the form, but he's also, according to the Mayavadis, he's formless Brahman. He's nirupam. He's formless, but the Shrutis are saying here that he's, and then of course Lord Brahma is saying he's the pinnacle of transcendental bliss, Paramananda. So he finds his fulfillment with Radharani. So Radharani is that person that gives, that Vilasmurti Radha gives the bliss. So now this line says, Ananda Kanda Paramadvuta Somya Lakshmiya. So Lakshmi has the word Lakshmi, Lakshmiya. Somya Lakshmi, this is Somya, this word means gentle, pleasant, delicate, Somya. It's a very common Indian name for a girl, Somya, feminine name. And hopefully they live up to their namesake when they grow up and become pleasant and gentle. So Radha is the goddess of pleasant majesty or gentle beauty because she's pleasant, but then she's Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is opulence and wealth. So Radharani is the origin of all the Lakshmi Devis and queens of Dwarka. So she's the most fortunate and the most wealthy. But her greatest wealth is the wealth of her love. And this is Prem Vasibhut. Her Madhurya Prem, her Mahanaikya, Madhurya Mahabhav, it actually controls Krishna. It doesn't control Krishna, it just, he wants to be with Radharani. You can say that if you want to be with someone and you want to please them and do whatever they want, you might say that they're controlling you, but actually they're not controlling you, love is controlling you. And love is not that man or that woman, but love is something that's generated as a third integer or a third principle when the two come together. So Radharani's Mahabhava, although she's a srupa of it, it's so astounding that Krishna agrees to massage Radharani's feet and brush her hair and dress her and paint designs on her face, or at least try to. And when he tries to paint her face with kasturi and musk and make little leaves and little vines, make a little leaf, first make tilak, kamayantra tilak in the middle, then some little line like this, like a vine, and you draw the line and then around the forehead, and then you put little leaves on it, and then maybe draw a little makari. And we had this discussion. I said, makari means female makara. And then the teacher was saying, it can be that, like Krishna's makara kundala, which is a type of dolphin. So it's a Vedic dolphin. It's a fish, has the body of a dolphin. Dolphin means like a porpoise or a dolphin, but has a nose like an elephant, like a trunk of an elephant, and has teeth like an alligator. You must have seen pictures on the end of Krishna's flute. Sometimes they draw on the end of his flute, and the flute will go up like this. So the fish is like this, and then the fish is like this, and the top part of the fish has this nose. It looks like the trunk of an elephant goes up. And has long jaw like a barracuda, if you know what that is. That's a fish, long fish and big jaws. Yeah, not exactly, but anyway. It's an interesting character. So Radharani has the female Makari, because Makara, this fish, like Shiva rides on a bull, Krishna walks on his feet, Vishnu rides on Garuda, Brahma rides on a swan, and then Cupid, Kamadev, he rides on the fish. Because, romantic dealings are often very fishy. You don't know, because like, if you look, you don't know where you stand. Like if you stand at the water and look in the water, you can't see the fish. And once in a while they come up. So sometimes in a loving relationship, you don't know where you stand. are you there or you're not there? So he's riding on this Makara. That's the carrier, the Wahan, the carrier for Cupid, Makara. So then the female's Makari. So that type of little dolphin is painted, Krishna will paint on Radharani's cheeks. But Makari also means spider, and it means spider web. So we had this long discussion. Everyone was rather astounded in the class, because we had never heard such a thing. And because he said that, he was saying that the teacher was speaking in Bengali and it was translated into English. And then I'm a little spontaneous, so I said, spider web? Because I knew Makari, all I knew Makari was this. And Krishna, the gopis or mandris, they draw a spider web. You know what a spider? You know a spider they go on there? They draw a spider web on Radharani's cheek, and he said, yes. I said, okay, well, she certainly catches the honeybee. When Madhusudan, sometimes the fly, the spider makes a web. We call it a web, like not the net, but not the website, but it's a website for spiders. It makes a web, and then the fly gets trapped in the sticky web because it's sticky. And then the spider runs out and has his, bhog or prasad. Probably bhog, it doesn't offer. But so the Radharani puts his makari on her cheeks, the sakis paint, and then this beautiful Madhusudan. Madhusudan means a honeybee. So honeybees like to drink nectar from sweet flowers. So the golden lotus is a very beautiful flower. I've never seen it, but I've read a lot about it. Very obviously, a beautiful golden yellow. That's always bright, attractive, brahminical, sattvic. And in the middle, it's full of honey and nectar. So the honeybee likes to land there and drink the nectar. So when Madhusudan, of course, is the name for Krishna, Madhusudan Krishna, when he sees the golden lotus flower Radharani's face, he flies near it. And then he wants to land on it to get the nectar. Then he hovers above her face. So, ooh, there's a spider web there, right on Radharani's cheek. And if I get too close, I'll get caught there. But somehow or other, the taste of that honey is so sweet that he can't resist. So Krishna's lips land on Radharani's cheek. and they get caught in that spider web drawn on her cheek, and then, and actually gets a lot of nectar also. So this is why they, this is what we heard in the class, this is why they paint not only Makkari, but Makkari, because then when Krishna is dancing cheek to cheek with Radharani and Rasa dance, this is called cheek, then Krishna's Makkar is spinning and dancing with Radharani's Makkari. This dolphin on her cheeks. Very sweet, very rustic, and means nothing if you have no Ras in your heart. And Ras doesn't mean that, Ras ultimately means you have to be on the level of Bhava or Prema. But in the beginning of the Bhagavat, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it explains who is eligible to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says the person must be Rasika Bhavuvaka. Bhavuvaka. Rasika and Bhavuvaka. It means that Bhavuvaka means he has some softness, he or she has some softness in their heart. It doesn't, you know, it's the first canto because the sages are gathered there and Shukha Muni is explaining Nigama Kalpatur, you know, there's a whole verse and it says, Rasika Bhavuvaka. Rasika Bhavuvaka. Doesn't, on the highest end, the Rasika Vaishnava, Rasik Jana, is someone who's on Prema. He's so far on a devotional scale. He's on a level of Prema and Bhava and experiencing rasas in this eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. That person's very rare. People speak about ras and they describe ras and give classes on it. And they relish it to some extent, but to really be a rasik, that's what it means. But in this case, it's the acharyas in the commentaries, they say that rasika bhavuvaka, bhavuvaka means bhav. Because there are many hard-hearted people in the world. There are many vicious, cruel people in the form of human beings. They're like tigers and animals and sharks, and they're ferocious people. So they cannot derive anything from the benefit, from the Bhagavatam. So the Bhavaka, and Rasika means one who appreciates the fine things in life. Like some people say, you know, you see some people, they wear white shirt and black pants every day of their life. And every day they eat rice and dal and a chapati. So would you like any other food? No, I'm... So they're not very, they don't, they're very plain people, and they don't have any sense of how to describe it. It's a little difficult. They don't have any sense of enjoying. Actually, rasika means that you like to enjoy to some extent. Of course, it's mundane. You like to experience the rasas. Rasa means the taste, the pleasure of food, or a good music. Oh, I like good music. Or I like. So usually cultured human beings, they have this sense of aesthetics. It's called aesthetics. That's why translators often translate the word ras, which is difficult, and they translate it as aesthetic rapture. Rapture means swooning in divine bliss, or you can swoon in fear, see some monster movie or something, and faint. Or the mother sees her son run over in front of him, and she'll faint because it's our Vatsalya Bhav, everything just, she's, huh. You know, so that's swooning, but not swooning in transcendental bliss. Or people can be in heights of ecstasy and intimate union, and one partner can faint, and you read about that also. So this is swooning, so this is rapture, aesthetic rapture. So therefore, people that have some, that's why some people don't make it in bhakti. They come to devotional service, they start chanting and they read, and they just can't quite get it because their hearts are too tinged with impersonalism. And I know, I mean, I'm 40 years trying to practice this bhakti sadhana, and I've seen lots of people come and go, and I've inquired why you came and why you left, because I can't understand why you would leave. And because the Western people, they don't come for monetary benefit, like many others may do from ISKCON. So then they tell me, I couldn't quite get it. You know, this whole personalism and God as a person. I had the idea, but it doesn't make sense. And whatever reason. So this, when we hear descriptions like this, that can mean a lot to some and mean nothing to others. So Radharani is that Soumya Lakshmi, that she's the goddess of pleasant majesty or gentle beauty. The Vaikuntha Lakshmis, the goddesses of fortune. In Vaikuntha, she's famous for being chanchal, or restless. Oh, this is nice. Generally, when you think of Lakshmi, I'm not looking at anybody. I look in this space sometimes to think about things. I'm sorry, that's one of my caricatures. I can hear, like you can hear. Ta-da, someone's coming. At any rate, Lakshmi, everyone's heard that Lakshmi is chanchal. Chanchal means restless. You have money today, and maybe tomorrow, no money. Or you have a lot of money, and it's stored somewhere, and it's not there, because someone takes it. So this is the nature of Lakshmi. She's a queen, she's a goddess, she's the wife of Narayan. She favors some, and she doesn't favor others. But so Radharani, there's a qualifying word for Radharani. She's Lakshmi. She's the most opulent, majestic, fortunate bestower of fortune for everyone, Radharani. But she's Soumya. Soumya means she's steady, she's gentle. You can always count on Radharani. She's there, she's Soumya. So this is described that she's better than any of the Lakshmis, because, of course, she's the origin of all the Lakshmis. But she's Soumya, she's not restless. If somehow Radharani moves into your heart, or you become attracted to the service of Radharani, she'll stay with you. But sometimes Lakshmi moves into your heart, or let's say moves into your pocketbook, and she may not stay with you. Maybe for some years you're rich, and then you're poor. I see it happen all the time. So Radharani, if she moves into her heart, she'll stay there. And it may take you some time to realize it and to attain her full manifestation of her presence and her eternal service, but at least she'll never leave you. Lakshmi is fickle and chanchal. Like Krishna. Krishna is also like that. So that makes it nice. Radharani's, she's not restless, but Krishna is. She's delicate, but Krishna's rough. Radharani tells the truth all the time. Krishna lies all the time. Radharani walks in a straight line. Krishna walks in a crooked line. Radharani stands very straightly and nicely, and Krishna's tribhanga. She's like, his head's like this, hips are like this, legs are like that. Radharani always keeps her word. Okay, we'll meet in this Sankhet Kunj at 11:45 tonight, and I'll be there, all my sakis and mantris. Yes, I'll be there. So now 11:45 comes, and Sham is not there, and 12:45, then 1:45, 2, 3, 4. And then at 5:45 a.m., somebody arrives at the gate of the Kunj. He looks something like Krishna. He's dark, blue complexion, swarthy complexion, but he has some red mark on his cheek and some black cudgel on his lips, and he has some bites on his neck and some scratches here and there. And Radharani he didn't keep his word. He said, I'll be there, and he wasn't there. He came at the end of the Leela. Nishant Leela. It's Nisha Leela, then Nishant. He came at the end of Nisha Leela, which is the end of the nighttime Leela. And then, so this is an example of Krishna not keeping his word. Then the whole Leela unfolds from that. So this phrase is also that Radharani is not restless. She is also Lakshmi. But another word for Lakshmi is Shri. But Radharani's name is Jayashri. Because if that Shri, that fortunate goddess of fortune, Radharani, is in your mind and heart, and she is the goal of your sadhana, and the goal of your life and lifetimes to attain the Nitya Seva of Radharani, then everything will be victorious for you in all directions. Jai Shri, Jai Shri. But generally we don't hear this about Lakshmi. No one's running around, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. They're saying Sri Lakshmi ki jai, Lakshmi Devi ki jai. Well, we say Jai Shri. But Radharani is explained here as Paramadbhuta Somya Lakshmi. So Krishna Sananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai. So that's the first part of the verse. These are like yugoparas, yugopara. Pada means a line of a verse. So one half of these first two verses, one half is Krishna, one half is Radharani. One half is, first one is Apararasasara, Krishna. Vilasamurti, Radha. Anandakanda Bhagavan, Krishna. Param Adbhuta Somya Lakshmi, Radha. So the acharyas are giving a breakdown of the words. So Radharani is, she's Lakshmi, but with two other attributes. She has two extra attributes, means qualities, that Lakshmi does not have. And we mentioned one of them. One of them is Somya, which means not chanchal, not restless. She's shant, she's peaceful. She comes, she stays. But Lakshmi, I'm so much wealthy. Oh, I haven't seen you for so many months. What's happened? Oh, you don't know. You know, my business went down, everything's down. And I'm flat, you know. Oh, yeah, I haven't seen you around. I haven't seen you in the club. I don't have any money for membership. So you get so poor. But Radharani has this quality of Somya, and the other one is Paramadbhut. Paramadbhut. She's amazing. Adbhut, amazing. Adbhut. She's Param. She's simply, unbelievably, extraordinarily amazing and transcendentally amazing. So Paramadbhut means Radha is Unlike the Lakshmi and Vaikuntha, Radharani is Paramadbhut, most amazing and wonderful. Because Lakshmi Devi, of course, Lakshmi, you can use these adjectives to describe Lakshmi. Oh, she's amazing. But they never are. No one ever describes in any literature or shastra that Lakshmi is Adbhut, amazing. And they may say she's Parama Sobhagya. You may use this word parama, because it's parama adbhut. But they'll say she's parama sobhagya, or like this, Lakshmi's very fortunate or whatever. Parama adbhut is, so then acharyas are saying, why is Radharani called most amazing and wonderful? Because Radha, who is the Brajas, she's the Prem Lakshmi, Not the Paisa Lakshmi. There's Paisa Lakshmi and Prem Lakshmi. Paisa means rupees, rubles, dinero, marks, you know, whatever you have. So the most amazing, because she's full of sweetness, Madhurima. Plus, Radharani is gentle and steady. Whereas the Vaikuntha Lakshmi is chancho, which means she sometimes favors someone by staying with them as wealth and opulence and money. And then later, due to her restless, fickle nature, Lakshmi Devi flees and runs away, and the man becomes bankrupt and loses all his money. Becomes poverty-stricken, garib, as they say in Hindi land. Ekdam ati garib, fully flat. So, however, if our Prem Lakshmi Radha comes into a devotee's heart, she will never leave. But Radha will stay forever, inspiring that Premi Bhakta with feelings of divine bliss and opportunities for her loving service. Paramadbhuta Somya Prema Lakshmi Radharani Ki Jai. So these are very nice words to describe Radharani, because it is Radharas Sudhanidhi, ocean of nectar, of flavors about Radharani, Radharani's qualities, the guna ras, the flavor and happiness and joy of her qualities, her guna ras, her rupa ras, the amazing ras of her form and transcendental divine sweetness, and then her lila ras, and her vilasmurti, and then her seva ras. Sevaras, there's also Sevaras, the bliss and joy of simply serving. Everyone knows. You see, at least you can see, I have seen, you see someone serving and they're blissful. If you see a mother who loves her son or daughter and they're serving them, which they're doing all the time, they're actually very happy. And the most graphic example of that is to attend, to go to a function at some Indian person's house, cultured Indian, let's say traditional. And there are many people there in this program, because I've done many programs in Indian houses, pravachan programs, kirtan. And afterwards they serve prasadam, oftentimes full meals to everyone. There may be 50, 60 guests in a person's house, and they go to so much trouble to serve the devotees and their friends and the Vaishnavas. They move all the furniture out of the biggest room. They move all the furniture out, and they move into some, they pile up everything in a bedroom, couches and chairs and everything, to make lots of space to serve the devotees and their friends. That's a big thing to begin with. And then they cook all day long, several ladies will cook together. Then they serve out. And if you watch the housewives that are serving everyone, they're so blissful and they're so happy. And the husband and wife that arranged the program. So this is a clear indication of there's so much joy and bliss in serving. And even when it's all said and done, everyone's eaten to their full satisfaction and more, over satisfaction, and gone on, and then there's nothing there left, nothing. The children have eaten, the husband's eaten, everyone's eaten, the guests have all gone. Now there's not a morsel of food left. And what is that hostess, that wife that sponsored all this Vaishnava Pravachan Prasad distribution program? She goes in the kitchen, rolls up her sleeves or whatever, and then she starts washing all the dishes, singing. Inconceivable. Because of the joy of her heart. We can't imagine, because we're so selfish and cruel-minded and Western people, they this kind of softness of heart or self-sacrifice and service to others, which is the basic foundation to serving Guru and God. Most people, at least I can speak for myself, we don't have it. At least I don't have it. You may have that strong seva nadi or seva dara in your heart, that strong current of seva. I've never really seen it so prominently until I came to India. It's very nice. Another instance I'll tell you about. So there's so much joy and bliss in seva. So I've seen, like, someone get some a group of men, a group of Indian young college students they're on Prikma, let's say, Govardhan Prikma, 5, 7, 10 maybe. And then they stop somewhere to get something. So someone says, oh, everyone sit down, I'll collect something, I'll get something. So he goes to the counter and he buys a bunch of, first he buys samosas. Then he goes and he starts serving a cup with a samosa to everyone. And then he goes around and gives it the chutney to everyone. And then as there's even more, and they all take samosas. And then he says, you want some sweets? And he gives them sweets. And they're just, he's serving them all. And then they're done, then he sits down, and then he takes. This is some college students. So this is the, what happens at Radharani when she sees someone's heart is softened, so much soft, because Radharani's heart is so soft it melts. Like butter is soft already, and it has some firmness in the refrigerator. You bring it out on a hot day, or you put it in an oven, of course it melts. So Radharani's heart is already melted, and so soft. And it's always flowing to devotees. Devotees means servants. Those that serve the most get the most of Radharani's mercy. Those that serve the devotees most, and serve Guru most, and serve Vaishnavas, they get so much mercy from Radharani. Because she's the unlimited ocean of pure seva. And we always, this concept is so important to understand. That Radharani is so selfless and so surrendered to all of her friends. She's always thinking of everyone else. Even after she eats Krishna's remnants, she's honoring Krishna's prasadi, pan or his morning breakfast or anything, which she cooks. Then she says, oh, listen, you know, Vrindadevi's over in Radhakund, and Tulsi Mantri's there. So make a tiffin for them. Set aside some of Krishna's prasadi. And then she calls some duties, some messengers. Oh, take this to those mandris. And she says, oh, Where's Vishakha? Oh, Vishakha is just coming. Acha. Vishakha, sit. Hey, Vishakha. Bait. So she makes sure everyone has, and even sends out to the kunjas for those sevadasis that are arranging things over there. Then she eats. Then when she's eating, even she saves some special remnants, because it's an interesting point. Her sakis don't eat her remnants. Lita Vishaka, these sakis, the ashtasakis, what I mean by her sakis, but her manjaris, so she's eating Krishna's remnants, then she's putting on another plate, she's putting on the side Krishna's remnants, the prasad, the mahaprasad, which she takes, then it becomes mahaprasad, and she puts her mahaprasad aside for her manjaris, Tulsi manjari, Rupa manjari, Rati manjari, and all the other manjaris. So she, her mind, her heart is thinking of everyone from the top, which means Krishna, all the way down to the dasyano, 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 dasi. Radharani's thinking of serving them. So this is one of the, this is, there's a long list of special privileges and special rights or access or fortune, mercy of Radharani's maidservants. One is that they get Radharani's remnants. No one else ever gets, only the manjaris, and they're fine with that. So this is this maha maha prasad of Radharani is. Can you imagine? So this is Radharani is the paramadbhuta, because she's so amazing and so wonderful. She stays with us. She accepts our service. She offers it to Krishna. We offer it to her. And then it says, okay, that's so beautiful. Radha and Krishna have such beautiful exchanges, and Radharani has such wonderful qualities. Paramadbhuta Somi Lakshmiya. She's Vilasamurti. So far we heard that Radharani is Vilasamurti and Paramadbhuta Somi Lakshmi. And we heard that Krishna is Apararasasar and Anandakanda. Because when you're relishing so much ras, naturally your bliss is unending. If you're a apara rasasar, and then it's an obviously paramananda, ananda. Like ras, what is ras? Ras means taste. So if someone brings you all your favorite foods, all your favorite sabjis and savories and sweets, and you're eating them, then someone will say, how do you feel? Oh, I feel great. How does it taste? Oh, this, everything's great. This tastes so sweet, and this is so spicy, just the way I like. And this is sweet and sour, and this is a little bitter, and you know, I'm really relishing ras. And so you feel good? I feel blissful. Is there any more? This sweet rice is great. Is there any more? Yeah, so much. Take more. So this is the Anandakanda of Krishna's Pararasasara. There's so much ras. So when Krishna's with Radharas, when he's with Radharas, Sudaniti, Radharani herself, her rupam, her form, her mahima, she's an ocean, and niti means ocean. She's an ocean of nectar ras. So when Krishna, when the apararasasar, when the essence of ras submerges into the ocean of ras, then what happens? It's like, I don't know what happens. It's like Third World War or something. I don't know what. There's a lot of ras going on here. The Krishna Rasaraj, when he dives into the ocean of Radharas Sudaniti, then he drinks nectar and he becomes Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. So now, who can attain this wonderful service of Paramadbhuta Somya Lakshmi Vilasamurti Radha? Brahma can't attain it, Shiva can't attain it, Chatuskumara can't attain it, Varuna, Indra, Vayu, Chandra, nobody can attain it. But I can attain it? Yeah. By the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Guru Kripa, Mahant Kripa. Then the next line is, Brahmadi Durgama Kater Brishubhano Jaya. Brahmadi Durgama Kater Brishubhano Jaya. So this means that Durgama, Dur means difficult. Like we have Durga, Ma Durga. Ga means gati, param gati means moving, gamana. We say Krishna's gamana lila, or Alanath Gamana. Lord Chaitanya, when Jagannath went sick and doesn't give darshan for 2 weeks, then he would go to Alanath in outside of Puri. And it was called Mahaprabhu's Alanath Gamana Leela. Gamana means going, going, moving, going towards. So this is Durgama means Durga, Ma Durga means, Prabhupada said Durga means fortress, a fort, a heavily protected fort, an invincible fort. So this material world is Durga, it's very Ga. Dura means difficult, and Ga means to move, especially in the hot season. It's very, can't move anywhere. But it's very difficult to move, so she's Durga. So Durgama means it's very difficult to attain. Durgama Kater, Vrishabhanujaya. Vrishabhanujaya. So it says, it is very difficult, Durgam, for the celestials, devas, beginning with Lord Brahma, to attain the goal of Radha's intimate seva. What to speak of attain the service of Kishoriju, the embodiment of Mahabhav and Madhura Ras. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13 and 14, in Krishna's Bali Leela, describes how Brahma once offended Gopal by purloining, or kidnapping his calves and boyfriends while Krishna was enjoying a picnic on the Yamuna's bank. In this pastime, Lord Brahma, who is known as Jagat Pitamaha, Pita means father and Pitamaha means grandfather, so he's the granddaddy of the universe. He's the big daddy, Lord Brahma. Jagat Pitama. He became this. He has four heads, and Gopal has one. Remember, so he has four heads. He became, as you know, Brahma Vimohan Leela. He became completely bewildered by the Gopal's mystic potency. Thus, even the leader of all the devas, Brahmadi, says Brahmadi. Adi means beginning with or starting. Could not even understand Krishna's Pogunda Leela. Krishna was a young boy when he was having this picnic with it was the calves. He hadn't even started taking out the cows yet. We have Brahmanda Ghat, and this is Gokul Leela, I believe so. And Krishna was 3-4 years old, Pogunda age. Pogunda is from 5 years old to 10. So he was still with the calves. He hadn't started taking out cows. It says Gopastami, when Krishna turned 6 years old, then he was a big man. I'm 6. I'm ready to take out the cows. Now, you may not think that means much, because when we grow up in the city or we see people from there, at 6 years old, they can hardly tie their shoes. What to speak of, do anything practical. But in the village, everyone matures very fast. You know, a 6-year-old girl becomes a mother for the baby. Practically, I'm living in this village. You see his little kid about this high, maybe 4 or 5, got a stick, and he's taking out these huge buffaloes and cows. Pop, pop, pop. And just the tail of the cow weighs more than the boy, you know. And she just goes poop. But somebody has the confidence, my father convinced me. That's the amazing thing. It's like the guru convinces us to do the impossible. You know, and then somehow we become convinced, and we have faith in guru, and we become convinced, and then we do impossible seva for his pleasure. So this little boy, he's going out behind the cows with his mother and father, mostly father, or maybe mother. And finally she says, okay, you're big, you've seen me do it. So now today you take out. Who, me? Yeah, you can do it. You know, no, it's okay, you're taking some candy. Go, go. He says, okay, ha-ha. And then the buffalo just stops there, or the cow. I'm not going anywhere. Who are you? You stupid kid. No, hey, and he goes back, mommy, she's not going, you know. She says, no, you have to, like, kind of tap on the backside. Ta! So then he goes, okay, ta! And then she moves. So pretty soon, they're like 5 years old, and they're taking out these huge animals that weigh, you know, I don't know what, 500 kilos or something. So this is Krishna was only 4 or 5 years old, and Brahma took all his boyfriends. Imagine you're eating samosa. You're saying, Krishna's samosa is so nice. You know, my mother, Rohini, made such a nice samosa. Then Dao Balaram wants to offer it to Krishna. And then, and actually wasn't there that day, but anyway, some other coward boy wants to offer it. And then just when he goes to offer the samosa to Krishna's mouth, he disappeared. Because that was the display of the mystic power. Krishna said, okay. And he went, okay, huh? Where's the samosa? Where's the coward boy? Where is all? Where are all the coward boys? He's like, poof. It's like, you know, if I had like mystic power, I could say, now disappear. Poof. And everybody disappears. And then you're lost in space somewhere. And I say, okay. And come back. So this is mystic. It's like tantra. So Brahma did that. He said, hey, I'm smart. You know, I watch, look what I can do. You've heard of mystic cities. A yogi has a mystic city. Well, what about Brahma? He created a yogi. So he doesn't have a mystic city. I mean, come on. So then when Krishna says, okay, you want to show your mystic power, do you? Okay, well, I'll show you some of mine. So and then Krishna says, whew, I manifested all the coward boys from his body, looking all the same. And Brahma said, huh? I put them in a cave. So he went back to the cave, and they were all there. There was the green coward boy, and a red coward boy, and a blue one, and yellow, all different colors, white, whitish red, Gaurarakta, Swetarakta, all different colors. Then he came back. He said, oh, there's a green one, there's a red one, all different color complexions. And they went back. And then he came back again, and Krishna said, And then Krishna was eating with the boys. But then each boy and Krishna, they all expanded into Vishnu Rupams. He's, whew, this is really getting too much. And they're all the four arms. Krishna, all the coward boys. And he said, there's thousands of Vishnus everywhere. What is this? So then finally he starts offering prayers. Samasrita ye parapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare. Pavam buddhir vatsa param 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 bipadam nitesham. And so many beautiful prayers in chapter 14 and 10th canto, Brahma Stuti. So this is the Krishna's, that's Krishna. So Durgama, Brahma couldn't figure out Krishna's Poganda Leela, what to speak of Radharani's Madhurya Mayi Leela with Krishna and Braj. Can't see it, can't fathom it, can't even understand what it is. So it's very difficult for Brahma. So he's the leader of all the demigods, and Shiva only has one head. Well, of course, he has five also. He has Panchamukha Shiva. So Shiva with his five heads, Brahma with his four heads, Dattatreya with his three heads. How many heads do you want? Three heads. Two heads are better than one. Three heads are better than one. Four heads are better than one. Five heads. Sometimes in some families, it's like that. There's five heads, and they all want to be the one. They want to be in charge. You know, so it's a big mess. So he says here, so then how could he possibly understand Krishna's Kishore, teenage pastimes of the Braja Gopis, and his Nikunja Bihar with Srimati Radharani? The answer is he can't. So Radharani Krishna's Rahasya Leela is... Radha and Krishna's Rahasya Leela, and especially Radhika's intimate seva as a manjari, which is the param gati, is the most rare and difficult goal to achieve. So as I mentioned, this verse has three points. One of them being the difficulty of attaining Radharani's service and the qualities of Radha and Krishna, and then the aspiration or prayer to attain that seva. Seeing that, first we have two padas, two lines to describe who are we trying to attain, their beauty, their sweetness, their exchanges, that apararasa sara Sri Krishna, and that vilasa murti radha, and that ananda kanda sham, and that soumya lakshmi radhika. And then, they're very beautiful and they're very attractive and have such sweet, charming pastimes. And but listen, it's very beautiful, yes. They sound very sweet and attractive, yes. But they're not easy to attain. That gati, that Durgama gati, that's a Durgama gati. It says, Brahmadi Durgama gati Brishabhano Jaya. To attain Brishabhano Nandini is very difficult. And that is the gati, that is That's the param gati. You see, even in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are thousands and thousands of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. How many even understand that the goal of being a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to become a servant, a maidservant of Radharani? How many even understand? How many even heard about it? Practically none. If you mention about it, they kick you in the butt and say, you know, you're off. But Lord Chaitanya came, he says, Raghunuga Prachara, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Raghunuga Marge Prachara, he came to, this is talking about the purposes, maybe in Adi Lila chapter 4 or so, talking about why Lord Chaitanya came. Yes, he came externally to broadcast the Sankirtan movement. There's internal, there's the internal and external causes. So that itself, we're in a movement, we're in a sampradaya, we're in a religious movement or philosophical, where our philosophy, our sadhya, the goal of, we're yogis, we're bhakti yogis, and our goal of our bhakti, our devotion, is prema for Radha and Krishna, and specifically to be a servant of Radharani, and serving her relations, serving her and Krishna together. It's called Radha Krishna Yugal Upasana. We're called Madhurya Upasakas. Or worshipping the Madhurya Leela of Radha Krishna. But who knows? It's so rare to even know it. What to speak of attain it. So that, therefore, that's why then the concluding verse is praying. That, okay, it's very, very rare. Durgama, this paramgati of Radharani's service. You see, you can bring up this subject or discuss with many devotees. You would just ask them, what is the sadhya of Krishna consciousness? Sadhya means goal. Well, go back home, back to Godhead. That's all. That's right, I guess. You can also say yes, of course. Krishna prema, prema maharataman, yes. But are we trying to attain an entity? Are we trying to attain a place or a principle? Prema is a principle. Are we trying to attain a principle or a place? Or are we trying to attain a person? We're trying to attain Krishna prema, which means our goal is to attain Krishna. And serve him with love in his abode of Vrindavan. And so that, you know, the refining it. Usually, and then, well, how will you serve Krishna? I don't know. All right, so that, because, so when you actually study the books, then you understand this is where the Lord Chaitanya told the Goswamis, explain all of our sadhana, explain all of our sadhya. I gave the gist of it, the outline, and they did. And they talk all about these things. Prabhupada wrote this book on the order of Lord Chaitanya to describe all about the Sakhi's relationships with Krishna and their intimate leelas, and also reveal many things about the Manjaris. So it's very durgama to attain. Nevertheless, so then first the author, Prabhupada Saraswati, who was one of Radharani's Asta Sakhis, Tunga Vidya Sakhi, she's telling us this is a wonderful thing. It's paramadbhuta. It's amazing. It's a wonderful goal, a wonderful paramadbhuta sadhya. An amazing and wonderful, it's inconceivable to be born anywhere around the world as a conditioned soul and to think my final attainment is I'll have a Satchitananda form. I'll have a Satchitananda Siddhadeya, a spiritual form of a coward boy or a coward girl, a gopi. I'll be a gopi and I'll be a servant of Radharani, a gopi maidservant. It's an inconceivable thing if you actually think about it. Where I am and what I am, and what is my experience in this world. So then he's saying, yes, everyone, this is very difficult, but don't lose hope. If not, like one sadhu said, he said, how did it go? Perfection, surely light will surely come. He said, just keep going. Something like that, I forget, the light will surely come. My friend, he told me this quote, I forget. Slowly and steadily keep progressing in bhakti, then eventually we'll attain the goal. So then the last line, it says, Kai karnya meva mama janmani janmani syat. It says, nevertheless, Shripad, which means the one who wrote this verse, he has hope. And everyone, this should be one of the things we have. We maybe don't have money, we don't have name or fame or followers or even friends in some cases. But of course, Guru is our greatest friend, and Krishna and our worshipable Lord and our deities or Thakurjis. So there's also, we're surrounded by friends. But he's saying that the Ashabandha, that means to have hope, be bound by hope. As Prabhupada used to say, hope against hope. It seems hopeless that such a fallen and conditioned soul as me can actually attain the prem seva of Radha Govinda Yugal and the Nikunjas of Vrindavan. But it's possible. And that's why he says, Mama Janmani Janmani Siat, birth after birth. Which hope, Ashabandha, is the very life breath of all sincere devotees. This is our life breath. You know breath? Ah, I'm alive. We have to think. What do we think? What should devotees think? I should think that yes, someday, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't even know where, but I have strong hope against hope that I will attain that rarely attainable goal, Durga Makati, of Radha's maid service as her Manjari. So then he concludes that line by saying, Brishubhanu Jaya. Jaya. Jaya means Prambijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, that Sankirtan is victorious in all directions. Victorious over our mind, victorious over our senses, victorious over everything and everyone. If we take up the Harinam Sankirtan, chanting of Krishna's name, then we'll be victorious. Everyone is defeated by an invincible enemy named death. Everyone's being attacked by death at every moment. But you become deathless. Amritya. We say Amrit. Amrit. Prema Amrita. So this Sankirtan is Amrit. It says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kaivrava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidya Vadujivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrit Purnamrita Swaranam. Purna Amrita Swaranam. It says Purna Amrita Swaranam. Pramvijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Purna Amrita Swaranam. Swaranam means to taste. Swaranam. Purna means complete, full. And Amrit means nectar. But Amrit means Amritya. Mrityu means death. So when we engage in Harinam Sankirtan and always chanting Krishna's name, then there's no death. We become deathless. So that means you become victorious over the invincible enemy of death. So that's the wonderful power of Sankirtan. So then this is Vrishabhanu. We hear of Vrishabhanu Nandini. The word Nandini means daughter. Vrishabhanu Nandini Radharani Ki Jaya. And then we hear about, but now we're hearing about Vrishabhanu Jaya. Brahmadi Durga Makater Vrishabhanu Jaya Kaikarnya Meva Mama Janmani Janmani Syat. Oh, Vrishabhanu Nandini, oh, daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, oh, Radharani, oh, Krunamai Radharani, oh, Kishoriju, oh, Shamaju. You are the daughter of Barsana's king, Vrishabhanu, and he's famous. What is Vrishabhanu famous for? Everyone's famous for different things. Like, someone may be famous because they're an actor, and someone else may be famous because they're expert in cricket. Someone else may be famous. So Vrishabhanu is famous for being kind and charitable. So Sripad, Prabhupada Saraswati, could have chosen any word to end this verse. Because Radharani has 1,000 names and more. Ananta Rupam, Ananta Namam. She has so many names. So he said, Vrishabhanu Jaya, I'm appealing to you. I have Ashabandha in you, Vrishabhanu, because you're the daughter of a very kind and generous and charitable father. So generally, if your father is very kind and charitable, you may pick up that idea from him and be kind and charitable. Because children are very impressionable. They learn. The father takes in the temple and hands him 5 rupees and says, put this in the box. He puts it in the box. And the father hires a halwai, a cook, and he cooks a big pot of halwa, and they put it in the trunk, and they go somewhere, and the father and mother serve out halava to poor people, some prasad. Then they say, tell the son, yes, come do this, it's nice. So then he gets some idea about this. And then they see, and he grows up, well, my father was very charitable and very kind and very, so I want to do also. And I've seen myself that when I have some of my students and friends will be with me, and people generally pick up the qualities of those around them. They say that you take on the qualities of your surroundings. So they would see me go places, and they say, why you give everywhere money here and there, everywhere, you know, charity or whatever. I said, this is my habit, and it's also based on Shastra, and it's also in Prabhupada's life. In 1970, when Prabhupada was in 71, I believe, Prabhupada had a Braj Yatra with a handful of devotees like Shamsundar and Malati and Gurudas and Yamuna Dasi and many of the great senior devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, great devotees of the ISKCON. And they went around to Barsana and Nandagram and to Govardhan, maybe Radhakund, I don't know. But they went to Vrindavan and they were walking through Keshigat. And then Prabhupada stopped and he said, give some money. And there were some beggars there. And there were some sadhus and beggars like you see everywhere. Oh, give them some money, give them some donation. And so there's one devotee there who's a big collector of money. He collects lots of money for the building of Mayapur and Vrindavan. He said, Prabhupada, they're just beggars. We should use the money for Krishna's service. You know, this money we shouldn't use. It's only for Krishna's service. And Prabhupada just looked at him like, you know, you stupid. He said, you know, these are. Prabhupada just said these are qualified recipients. And so then he said, no, they deserve charity. You should give. So everyone was, oh, because when we joined ISKCON, at least in the West, we thought we wouldn't give anything to anybody. Because we thought, oh, everything's only for Krishna. So even Prabhupada taught the example, which is also in Shastra, who are suitable candidates for charity? Brahmins, sick people, poor people, etc. And someone who's asking, someone who's poor and asking for money. And you never should measure, calculate a person whether, oh, he's a Brahmin, he's asking me for some donation, but I don't like him. He's smoking a bidi, or I saw him smoking a bidi, or I saw him drinking tea, so he's not, he's a bad Brahmin. No, this is an offensive type of discrimination. If he's a Brahmin and he's playing in the role of a Brahmin, dressed as a Brahmin, born as a Brahmin, he may have his personal habits which you don't like or don't agree with, but it has nothing to do with the Shastric guiding principle. The Shastras don't say, you give a donation to a Brahmin, but make sure first that he doesn't drink coffee or tea. Make sure he doesn't take bhang. Make sure he's not stoned on bhang, like most of the Brahmins, pandas are. And make sure that, you know, this and that. It doesn't say anything like that. It said if he's a Brahmin, that's his right. Sad karma nipana vipro. Sad karma nipana vipro. That a Brahmin is nipun, expert in six activities. Yajan yajan, patan patan, dan pratigra. He's expert in receiving donations and getting them. And he's supposed to be expert in distributing donations and charity, pratigraha. Like you have that verse in Nectar of Instruction about love, pritilakshana. Tadati pratigrinati. Tadati pratigrinati bhunkte bhojayate cheva. Guyam akyati pritchati sadguna pritilakshana. I think maybe you've heard of this verse in Upadeshamrita. It's six symptoms of love. Generally, we know most everyone knows the English. Giving prasad, or at least we know receiving prasad. Giving prasad to someone, receiving prasad, inquiring confidentially and hearing from them, and giving dadati pratigrinati, giving gifts, money, etc. So it says dadati pratigrinati. So dadati means don, giving, and pratigrinati means to receive. So that same word is there in description of the sadkarmas, the six activities of a Brahmin. Patan patan yajan yajan dan pratigraha. Whatever, if that's correct pronunciation, something like that. So Radharani, her father, Prishabhanu, is very charitable and kind, So Sripad is appealing. Oh, Radharani, I don't want to call you Kishori, a beautiful, sweet, charming young lali. I don't want to call you Radhika, the most worshipful person. I want to remind you of your father. Remember your father? And then that way, just like when Yashoda calls Krishna for lunch, Krishna, come, come, you must be hungry, you're playing so hard, come take prasad. And he says, forget it. Just keep. Hey, your mother's calling. Sri Rama says, Janani's calling you. Forget it. Keep playing. It's too much fun. I don't want to stop. So they keep playing. And then she goes, Lala, oh, come. And no success. So then she tells Rohini to go call. So Rohini goes out. She says, see this rascal? He won't come for prasad. You call him. So then she says, oh, hey, Nanda Dulal. She just says, hey, Lala, come. But then Rohini says, hey, Nanda Dulal. Nanda Dulal means a cute, adorable, cute son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Dulal. So then first she says, hey, Nanda Dulal. And then Subal says, hey, that's Rohini's calling you. Then she says, first she catches him and connects him with his father, Nanda Dulal, instead of Lala, which means adorable boy, any adorable boy. And then she says, Nanda Maharaj is very hungry. He can't eat until he sees your beautiful lotus face. He won't eat. And then Sridham says, hey, Nanda Baba is hungry. Now what are you going to do? Oh, yeah, better stop. Maybe he spanks me also, you know. So then Krishna then runs home to take. So that because the right vibration, the right name, so therefore Sripad is saying, this, because you'll see in all throughout the verses, so many names, Radhika, this, that, the other thing, Kishori. So here he's praying, it's really, Vrishabhano Jaya, it's very difficult. I know that I am totally unqualified. Let's see whether this guy comes back. I know I am totally unqualified and undeserving of you and of your eternal service. So I am prepared that, he says, okay, I'm Vrishabhano Jaya. Oh, Vrishabhano Nandini, O son of that kind and charitable King Vrishabhano, I'm begging you, I'm praying to you, please be merciful to me. I know it's impossible to dream the impossible dream, they say, or to attain the impossible goal. But I have hope in you because you're Karunamayi. I have hope in you because you're known to be compassionate. That's one reason. And I have hope in you because I've seen other people have been successful by taking your shelter, by chanting Radhe Radhe and just serving you. I've seen. And I have another hope. I have another cause of my hope. Like someone said, why do you have so much hope? Well, I have hope because of this and that, whatever. So I have another cause of hope is because her father, Vrishabhano, the king of Barsana, he's very kind and charitable. Vrishabhano Nandini Ki Jai. So then he says, what goal I want? What is that paramgati? I don't want a big thing. I don't want to be the lord of a universe. I don't want to be the controller of thousands of people. Oh, I just want to be Dasi Anu Dasi, Dasi 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 Anu Radha Dasi. The servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of Radha. Kai Karnyam means Kinkari. Ai Nanda Tanusha Kinkaram. Kai Karnyam Eva Mama Janmani Janmani Syat. Says it. Okay, it's impossible. But I'm ready to wait birth after birth, as Mahaprabhu prayed in the mood of Radharani. Hey Jagadish, Nadana Janam Sindaram Kavitam Va Jagadish Kamiye. Mama Janmani, same thing. Mama Janmani Janmani, what does it say here? Mama Janmani Janmani. Mama Janmani Janmani, Bhagavad Bhaktir Hoite Kui Toyi. I'll listen. I'm in Radhabhav. I'm mad in separation from Shyam. I'm Gauranga in Gambira, and I'm chanting Shikshastakam. And I'm saying, Mama Janmani, that Bhagavan bhakti, Krishna praying, Krishna seva. I'm ready to wait life after life, Mahaprabhu is saying. So now Sripad, on behalf of the Sadaka Mantris, he's saying, Mama Janmani Janmani's Kai Karnyam, hey Swami Lakshmi, hey Vrishabhano Jaya, Vrishabhano Jaya, you're so kind and charitable, make me your maidservant, Kai Karnyam. Vrishabhano Jaya Kai Karnyam, then Eva Mama Janmani Janmani Syat. I pray that that I will become Radharani's kinkri, loving maidservant. I have some abbreviation, I don't know what it means. B/AF/B. Before, after, and whatever. I pray that I will become Radharani's kinkari, loving maidservant Manjari. Vrishabhano Jaya Kai Karnyam. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I took notes, and I guess they're coming out without reading them. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in Radha's Viraha separation in Mahabhav, and he prays in verse 4 in the Shikshastakam, Nadana Najana Sundaram Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Janmani Janmani, and this is Mama Janmani Janmani, Bhagavat Bhaktir Hoita Kitai. Radhika prays in the same way. In that verse, Mahaprabhu in Radha Bhav is saying, O Jagadish, O Sri Krishna, birth after birth, I don't want anything else. I don't want not dhanam, not wealth, not janam. I don't want wealth, followers. I don't want men. I don't want women. I don't want kingdoms. I don't want pratishtha. I don't want anything. Anything else but your eternal, pure, loving service. So similarly, the sadhaka, when we're sadhakas, we're practitioners, when we're reading verse number 40 of Radharasa Sudhanidhi, Tasya Pararasa Saravilasa Mortir, Ananda Kanda Paramadbhuta Somya Lakshmiya, Brahmadi Durgamakater Bhishabhana Jaya, Kayakarnya Meva Mama Janmani Janmani Syat. When we read this verse, we will remember Mahaprabhu's mood of virakti, complete detachment from everything enjoyable. Mahaprabhu in verse 4 of Shikshastakam, he's showing a mood of virakti, means detachment, vairagi. He's completely detached from everything which is enjoyable and attractive in the material world, as expressed in that verse. And he's sincerely praying, O Vrishabhano Nandini Radha, O Karunamayi Radha, please may I become your kinkari, birth after birth. Vrishabhano Jaya Kai Karnyam Eva Janmani Janmani Syat. Ananda Kanda Rasarat Bhagavan Rasarat Sri Krishna Ki Jai Rasavilasa Murtiman Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. So there's a Bengali song to summarize this content of the verse, which is very beautiful. We don't know so well, but we'd like to read it because it's been included in the commentary. Contemporary devotee Haripad Srila, one professor who was a great devotee, Bengali. He lived about 50 years ago. Radhara Katakshapate Sata Sata Saragate Murachita Nagarand. Oh, excuse me, that was the one we did the other day. Excuse me. He sings, Aparara Sera Sar Srila Brajendra Kumar Vilasa Murti Murati Radharani Sokishi Paramananda Padapera Mulakanda, Adabhuta, this is a Bengali, instead of saying Adbhuta, they say Adabhuta. Adabhuta Rasa Chintamani, Radhikara Dasyanand, Rupaguna Lilavrinda, Brahmadira Ativa Durgama, Heno Radha Madhishvari, Prishabhano Sukumari, Janami Janami Nivedan, Radhara Kinkari Hohiya, Nibriti Nikunja Jaya, Bajo Mui Radhara Charan, Bane Sri Prabodhananda, Sri Banukula Chand, Evancha Koro Puran. In this verse, there's five wonderful names of Radha and two wonderful names of Krishna. Rasarasar and Brajendra Kumar. Rasarasar, Brajendra Kumar. That's two beautiful names of Krishna. And then there's five of Radharani. Vilas Murati Radharani. Adabhuta Rasa Chintamani Radha. Then there's Ishvari Radha. Prishubhanu and Sukumari. And Banukul Chand. And then the mantras are also there. So the translation is that Sri Brajendra Kumar, the Prince of Braj, is the essence of unlimited relish, and Radharani is the form of his pastimes. Radha is the root of the tree of topmost bliss and the wonderful Chintamani gem of ras. Adabhuta Rasa Chintamani. The bliss of Radhika's seva, her forms and Radha's qualities and pastimes are totally inaccessible to Lord Brahma and other devotees in a passive mood. Birth after birth, I pray to the tender daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, my mistress, Sri Radha, Vrishabhanu Sukumari, instead of Somya, Lakshmi, then that Somya word became Sukumari. Not Bengali, Su, you can imagine Bengali, Sukumari, Sukumari. All these Ku and Su, they like too much. Sukumari, Kumari. Then being Radha's maidservant, I will go to the secret Kunja and serve her lotus feet. Prabhupada Saraswati says, O Muna Vrishabhanu's dynasty, please fulfill that desire. Banukul Chand. Kula means family, like we say Gurukul. Gurukul means the school of, the family of the guru. All the children, usually the guru is married, he's a rishi or a sage, Raja Rishi. And then, or he's a rishi, and then he gets married, he has an ashram somewhere in the forest, and his wife, and he's teaching, and the wife is taking care of the young Gurukul students to a certain age, and she's brushing their hair and bathing them. And Shastras say then when the boys reach the age of 7 or 8 or so, then she stops doing that, and then they, of course, take care of themselves. There's laws. So that's the Kula. So this is Banu, Kula means the family of Vrishabhanu, her father, and she's the Chand. Chanda means Chandra. She's the moon. She's a shining moon. Like there's so many stars. So each star in the sky represents a member of the family. So there, but there's no moon, then the stars in the sky are very significant and prominent and brilliant. But when the moon comes, then the stars all, they're shy. Because Chandra's male and the stars are female. The star, what's the name of the stars? Anuradha, Chitra, Vishakha, Shatabisha, Pushya, Mrigashirsh, Hasta, Danishta. Sounds like Sakis too, but these are the names of the stars. 27 nakshatras and they're all female. And they're all the wives of Chandra. So when they're all shining, oh, look at us. Just, I'm Danishta, I'm Anuradha, I'm Mrigashirsh, I'm Hasta, I'm Pushya, I'm Shatabish, I'm Falguni. I'm Purva Falguni, I'm Purva Shada, and I'm Kritika. My name is Kritika, and my name is Mula, my name is Maga, and my name is what's that? Barney. My name is Barney. and these are all the stars, and then they're shining, and then their husband comes, ooh, and they become shy. And then Chandra rises, and you can't see because they all put their. Because a woman's shining when her face is uncovered. You see the shiny face. Oh, but then she goes like this. So when the husband, so all the stars are opening their face and showing so bright and illuminating. But as soon as the moon comes, stars are still there. But then all the nakshatras, the 27 wives of Chandra, which are stars, female, they put their dopatta like this. And then you can't see their light. And then you just see the moon. So this is Radharani. She's Banukul Chand. She's that shining moon. All the stars. I'm Vrishabhanu. I'm Chandrabhanu. I'm Subhanu. Because these are the brothers of Banu Maharaj. He has 5 brothers, like Nanda has 5 brothers. Subhana, Chandrabhanu, Virabhanu, something like this. So then they're all their relatives and Parjanya, etc. They're shining. But then when Radharani, she's the great moon in their dynasty. When she comes and they. Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. So this is a very beautiful name for Radharani. So that's the end of the class. There's a few minutes for questions. So much Braja Raj, like unlimited. I mean, my books are all clean and they're just covered with dust. Because it goes there and comes down. Probably on your head, too. Questions? Yes.
Krishna get pleasure from two male beings. Gopis.
Krishna gets pleasure from gopis. Yes. Yeah. From everything. From everything and everywhere.
Yeah, invitation by Radharani from Radharani. My question that you know our mood actually serves Khandani, Supranati, Bisunichina, you know, patience and so on. Also very you know matched with mood I think of Chandrali. But our Acharya is like more concerned about, you know, Srimati Radharani, and we have like no information about another Gopi. So some questions.
So the question is, why, if you want to be a Mandri of Chandravali, you want to know how to do that? I don't know. What is Well, Chandravali, actually, when it's all said and done, Chandravali and all the Sakis are actually expansions of Radharani. They're not different from Radharani. She's the original, she's the Ladini Shakti, and she expands herself into all the Sakis, called Kayavyuha of Radha. So Radharani, it's like, if you're like an invincible hero, a fighter, and you say, every time I fight somebody, I knock them out. So I want to find someone that can really give me a good fight. So then you say, oh, I'll just make another one of me. So he makes one of me. So now, but he's actually more powerful than me. So we fight, and once I knock, and then he knocks. So then Radharani, she wanted to create a rival, and a rival party. So she expanded into Chandravali and Shaibya and Padma and all these others. Chandravali has Astasakis, and they have their Astasakis, and they have their Mandris, so many. But I can't say, but all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, not Chandravali and Krishna. And he's not Lalita and Krishna. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and we're worshipping and following. And as far as we just want to serve Radharani, no, we're serving Radharani, but actually we're called Yugal Upasanas, Upasikas. Yugal means we're worshipping Radha and Krishna together, not Krishna alone, like so many. We're worshiping Radha and Krishna together. I follow. So, like, we do so many services for Radha, but like Radharani's greatest happiness is not in me massaging her feet when she's tired from the rasa dance, which maybe I'll do. I know on Guru Sakhi's agya, or by her wish, or Rupa Manjari's command, and Siddha Vasta, and Siddha Vasta. Maybe I have that seva that I'll massage Radharani's feet. But the greatest pleasure is when I act as a duty or a messenger and go and Radharani saying, where is Krishna? And then I find out that Krishna has been, he's been caught by Chandravali and went to her kunja. So then I very cleverly write a message. This is in the afternoon, Leela. He's supposed to be at Radha Kund with my Swamini Radha. But Krishna's gone off to Gauri Kund to be with Chandravali. He was waylaid on the road. He was kidnapped. You know, kidnapped? So he was kidnapped by Padma and those Sakis, and he was taken there. And so he couldn't meet with Radharani. So Radharani's crying. So then Manjari says, no, don't wait. I'm very clever. So the Manjari goes, she's like a combination of James Bond and Fed Express, you know? So Fed Express, or, you know, UPS. She's James Bond means she knows how surveillance and intrigue and spying like I Spy or KGB or whatever you have, CIA. But then she's an expert messenger. She guaranteed delivery. You give her a letter, you guarantee you'll get delivery. The same night service. Not even, it's that night service, not overnight. It's that night. It's 11:30 at night, and then Krishna hasn't showed up. And Radharani gives a message, says, listen, bring Krishna. So she writes this message, Manjari says, okay, I have this message. That Manjari will bring that night. So now the Manjari goes in the afternoon, when Krishna is supposed to be at Radhakun, she goes and she sees Acha. She's hiding in the kunja. You know, there's so many other Padma and they're guarding the kunja where Krishna is with Radharani, and they're looking out for Manjaris, and they're looking out for Radharani's Manjaris and Sakis. So there's so much, you know, fun in being a Manjari, because you have to be like, you know, kind of like, you know, green beret type. You know, you have to, you know, you have to wear camouflage. You have to wear like green and brown color, you know, sari and stuff that little botches on. You know, you can sneak through the underbrush, like, you know, army fatigues. No, whatever. But so they use yoga maya. So you have to come very close, and so no one can see you. And they can't smell your fragrance, because on your body is carrying the fragrance of Radharani. And the rival party go, hey, friend or foe, I smell the blood, I smell the fragrance of Radharani. Who is this? So then they have to sneak through the enemy lines. They see, oh, there's Krishna. So then somehow I have to get his attention. So then she writes a message on a lotus petal with some kunkum. She takes some kunkum and she writes a message. Sham, you're late. Pyarju is waiting. Make an excuse, come. And so she has a lotus like this, right? The lotus has so many petals. So she very gently opens one and she writes a message on the lotus petal. You know lotus? So Manjaris has to be expert spies. They have to be expert in baseball. So many things. And then she takes the flower and she looks for an opening in the kunja and she throws. And it goes up into the tree and it falls down and goes, toom. Just like a flower falls from a tree, because the kunjas, there's kadamba trees in four corners of the kunj, and there's some thorn bushes between, or it can be flowering thorn bushes on the outside, and the inside there's all flowering bushes, so when the thorn bushes are a natural, impenetrable wall, and many kinds of kunjas are described in Shastra. So the flower message is like special packaging when you go to these courier wallahs, they put your thing in a special package. So then it lands there, and Krishna and Chandravali, somehow she's resting. Krishna sees this flower. He said, that's a lotus flower. And that's a kadamba tree. How did a lotus flower fall from a... You hear it, toop. How did a red lotus flower fall from a kadamba tree which has yellow, greeny yellow flowers? Let me just look at this thing. And he smelled... This is Radharani. This is not this this lotus flower doesn't smell like a lotus, it smells like Radharani. It's very suspicious. I better call some bomb experts. Some bomb experts to detonate it. Maybe it's a bomb. Blow up my kunj. So then Krishna very carefully looks around and he finds one petal and he just opens it like this. Sees a message. And he takes that message and he puts it, that petal and he puts it in his turban. So then he wakes up Chandrava and he says, oh, you know, I thought we would spend the whole afternoon here in rapturous bliss. But I just got a message. You know, I just got a message from, you know, a parrot just came while you were resting. One parrot came and told me that Kamsa is preparing to attack Nandagram with hundreds of soldiers and going to steal all of our cows. So you just wait here, I'll be right back. I just have to rush off to Nandagram and I'll be right back. Okay. She's already half tired. So then Krishna, he goes outside the kunja. Psst, 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 psst. Krishna, Sham. Here, I'm over here. So then Manjari, Tulsi Manjari says, come, I sent that message. Yes, come. So then very fast, they run, and Manjari knows, because Krishna said, no, I'll go this way. He said, no, that's the long way. I know the shortcut. Because Manjaris are very good at navigation. They know, it's like they don't have any GPS system or no GPS guidance system. They just have RPS, Radharani, global positioning. Radharani Kuncha positioning, RKP system. They have RKP navigation system. Radharani, Kuncha position. So they know exactly where Radharani is and what its position is. So Krishna, no, this is the way. I go this way, then turn right. No, I know it's short. Come. And the Manjari, she reaches back. Come. And she grabs Krishna. Come this way. Follow me. And she goes like a rabbit. She runs so fast. And Krishna, you're going so fast. I can't keep up. She says, come on, you're supposed to be faster than the fastest. A Trivikram, you took 3 steps and covered the universe, and you can't even reach Radharani with 1,000 steps. So then Krishna runs, lickety split, full speed. And then he arrives. Then when Krishna gets there, and then he says, Radharani. And then he goes like this. And he says, look what your... And he takes... Now Radharani sees this little thing hanging from his turban. He says, Sham, And they talk, and there's some preliminary chastisements and alibis and excuses and many things going on. And finally, Krishna sits with Radharani. And then Radharani's, you know, just like stroking Krishna's hair with her fingers and just touching him like this. And she says, Shyam. She said, and she takes out this lotus petal, this white lotus petal, with it, and she says, Kunkum written on it. I said, Shyam. And she showed, I said, what is this? He said, oh, that's your Manjari. She came, and she very cleverly, she did like this and like that. Acha? Oh, she's such a clever, brilliant Manjari. Hey, Manjari. Hey, Nava Manjari. Nava Saki. New Manjari. Calls her inside the clinch when she's with Krishna. Did you write this message? And she says, yes. Fantastic. Just come here. Put out your hand. So the Manjari puts out her hand, running, goes, and puts in the Mahaprasadi pan that she got from Krishna. So this is how the Manjaris are rewarded. It's like when you do good on Sankirtan, you know, you, number one, book distributor, then you get like a plate of Mahaprasadam. Yeah, you seem to be interested in trauma. They may be, I can't say, anybody can discuss anything. Your question is that maybe we're discussing Radha Krishna's Leela, Nam Rup Guna Leela, which is, of course, the goal of our lives. As Madhurya Pasakas, we worship Radha and Krishna Yuga. This is Lord Chaitanya was worshiping Radha and Krishna in a mood of, you know, he's Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in Radha's Bhav and Radha's Kanti. And always thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes, and Lalita Mishaka, Ramananda Roy, and Srub Damodar, they're always assisting him. So we don't worry so much what others may be speaking about or maybe teaching or following, because we're in this sampradaya, and we try to learn as much as we can about Lord Chaitanya's wonderful teachings of Anarpita, Trimtra, Karana, Yavatirana, Kalo, this wonderful teachings of Radha and Krishna. And that should be enough to keep us busy. And it's the sweetest flavor. There's nothing sweeter than worship of Radha and Krishna. What more? Yes.
Actually, I have two questions.
You can ask one, and somebody else can ask another one, and then there's, and then.
But before my question, see sometime your classes in Facebook.
Not so.
Some devotees speak about you.
Oh.
I should call you Maharaj. Maharaj.
Call me whatever you want.
Mahadini Swami, right?
Sure. That's my legal name.
Prabhu, first I would like to.
Yeah, you can call me Prabhu. Myself. You can call me, hey friend. Hey, Jiva. Hey, Jiva. Yes, Jiva?
Yeah. First, I'd like to introduce myself.
Okay.
My name is Lalita Vishaka Devidasi.
Oh,
I'm the disciple from Jayapataka
Swami. Lalita Vishaka Saki Dasi?
At the age of 11, 12 years old, I hear Srila Prabhupada for the very first time on the television and radio together with my mother. And at the age of 18 years old, I got my first Bhagavad Gita.
Jai Ho.
So my question is, why Srila Prabhupada never allowed his disciple speaking about Krishna and Radharani pastime?
I wouldn't say he didn't allow, but Prabhupada was here for Well, let me. The question is, it's not exactly correct question, and I'll explain why. You say why? The question is why. It's not really related to the class. But why did Prabhupada not allow his disciples to speak about Radha and Krishna's pastimes? First of all, the question is not quite correct, because Prabhupada, I was there in Los Angeles in 1975 when I joined. In 1969, Prabhupada published the Krishna book. Krishna book is the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's one of the very first books that Prabhupada published in New York. Nectar Devotion and Krishna book, they were published in 1969. Bhagavad Gita was published in 1971. Until 1971, Prabhupada was giving classes on Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita. He was the Prime Minister of India. So we didn't have our own. Prabhupada was translating and writing, and the manuscript got stolen, and then he started again. So this is the history. You can see in Leelamrita also. So that book was published in 1969 with a donation from George Harrison. And Prabhupada started every night, he said, at night, when the devotees take hot milk, which was like a practice in ISKCON, which is unique in one sense, take hot milk and a little muli, puffed rice, or some malprasad at night. And then also, that would be at night, and every afternoon, I was there in 1975 in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was downstairs in the temple, and it was his order to all the temples in America and Europe that every day at lunchtime, and sometimes at night, that we would read from the Krishna book, chapter by chapter, which means the Rasa-lila. So the devotees and I were reading the Rasa-lila from the 10th canto to all the other devotees, and they were hearing it. So it's not exactly... So Prabhupada gave permission, in fact, he ordered us to read Krishna book every day during prasadam and hear Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, which is in Krishna book. As far as giving classes on Radha Krishna's pastimes, Prabhupada said that we should give class on every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I was also there in Los Angeles in 1975, and because they were printing the books then, and they were just coming out one by one. So Prabhupada said, so we finished the class, one verse of Bhagavatam, everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. And they were so happy, and Prabhupada said, so I can see everyone's relishing this Bhagavatam so much. And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, please translate more and more. He said, there's so much knowledge in the Bhagavatam. How many verses are there? And they said, 18,000. So that means if at this rate, if we have one verse a day, that means we have enough verses to give class every day for 60 years or something like that. If we give one verse a day. One verse a day is 365 verses a year. Times 60 years is 8. So we'll be able to have class in the Srimad Bhagavatam every day for the next 60 years. Everybody said, Jai Prabhupada! Thinking that, yes, Prabhupada will give class every day for 60 years, although he was already 80 at the time. So what would have happened, and what has happened in many temples, is now, after 40 years or 35, we've gone through first canto, second. I myself was in Delhi temple. I've been here for 28 years in India. And I was in Delhi temple, and we started the 10th canto after so many years. This was 1990 or so, at 1990, so ISKCON is 67. So after about 30, 35 years, ISKCON had gotten to the 10th canto. Verse by verse, first canto, second canto. Now we're in the 10th canto. So we start, everyone is giving classes on the 10th canto of Bhagavatam in the temples. So I remember we had gotten to the first chapter, second chapter, and I said, oh, this is great. Pretty soon we'll be in Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. And somehow, because Prabhupada wanted us to go through every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, have a class on a different verse. So I think I gave the last class, you can see in my tape ministry, I gave the last class, at least in the Delhi temple, on the 10th canto. It was 10th canto, chapter 6 or 7, I think, about Putin or something. And then an announcement came, from the GBC or someone. I don't know how they decided in ISKCON, whatever. Oh, now we have to go back to the first canto, which was not what I understood to be Prabhupada's wish. He wanted us to do the whole, he gave the whole Bhagavatam. We paid millions and millions of dollars to have the whole thing translated, to maintain those devotees for so many years. You know, it's very costly to maintain a whole team of translators and editors to produce the 10th canto and 11th canto and 12th canto and publishing. Millions and millions of dollars, and we got to 10th canto, chapter 6, and someone, I don't know, GBC, I can't say, but we got, and I was about to give class the next day. He said, Maharaj, tomorrow we're starting. He said, your class is tomorrow. It's first canto, first verse. I said, what? I was just starting to get good. The commentaries were so wonderful because I already had in my hand printouts of many commentaries that weren't yet published. So we were relishing these Bali Leelas and whatnot. And I always said, this is wonderful. So I don't understand, because certainly that was 1990. We would have been we would have been having classes on the 12th canto by now, or maybe now back to the first. But so your question, Prabhupada, it wasn't Prabhupada. Prabhupada ordered us to read the Krishna book, which means the pastimes of Radha Krishna. We read it publicly to other devotees and any guests who were visiting the temple or breakfast, which were so many, not even initiated. So they're hearing Radha and Krishna's pastimes spoken by Prabhupada's disciples. Then he gave us the whole Bhagavatam, give a class every day on every verse. So we got to the 10th canto, and Prabhupada wasn't here. Someone decided to stop and go back to the first canto. Now if you go in any temple, tomorrow's class is second canto or third, I don't know, whatever it is. What's it in Vrindavan? What canto? Third canto.
Actually, my question was not really correct, because Leelas and pastime with Krishna, there is in many different books from Srila Prabhupada, but I think that he said, he instructed his disciples to not not to speak about Krishna pastime, intimate pastime with the gopis.
Yeah, you can read it. Yeah, to non-adhikaris. You can see in a Krishna book about this, in the very introduction of the Krishna book, there's several quotes where Prabhupada says that he says if someone is Krishna conscious, then he can describe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I used to have the quotations on a piece of paper. It's in that Ras Lila, that pamphlet. Those quotations are there. So you have to look, if you look more closely in the Krishna book, chapter 29 or 30 in the purport, Krishna is saying that devotees in Krishna consciousness, it says he can speak about Radha and Krishna's pastimes even to conditioned souls. So I don't quite agree with what you're saying. And the other point is, this is not, the basic fact is that Radha and Krishna's pastimes, intimate pastimes, should not be spoken in public to non-devotees. This is not public.
No.
This is Radhakund. This is a very confidential setting. And even though we put these classes on YouTube, which means anybody in the public can listen to it, if you look at these classes, after 5 years, you see 100 views, 50 views. Because it's not some kirtan of some famous kirtan here. If you look at some, you know, we have so many good kirtan ladies, and you look at the views, there's one lady, some lady, I don't know, 700,000 views, you know, some lady, you know, devotee kirtanier person. 700,000 people looked at it. Then you look at my lecture on Bhagavatam, 20 views. So you don't have to worry. Don't have to worry. Even because we could say, well, these are only, this class wouldn't even be recorded and wouldn't even put on the net. But it's not even a trouble. So even when it goes in the net, those 20 people who listen to it are probably devotees who are interested in the subject. I would never go to a pandal at a Rath Yatra when there's 20,000 people and talk about Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes. I mean, I never did. And I never will. So, any other question? Another thing is that Prabhupada, if he was here, I mean, imagine, Prabhupada gave classes on the first canto and the seventh canto, a wonderful class, and he gave classes on the eighth canto, and I've heard Prabhupada's classes, maybe ninth canto, and even And Prabhupada was giving tikkas and commentaries in a 10th canto up to chapter 13. Then he left this world, chapter 13. So now, Prabhupada usually he would speak on his books and his purports of his books, and he would speak. So imagine if Prabhupada was here, and we were on the 10th canto. Oh, tomorrow's class on 10th, tomorrow's, we're discussing the Rasa Lila here in the temple, and tomorrow Prabhupada's coming from Mayapur, he's going to give the class for 3 days. So, obviously, if Prabhupada was here, we would be in the 10th canto, and he wouldn't say, don't go back, he wouldn't say, go back to the first. That means they didn't even Prabhupada gave us to chapter 13, so they should have at least gone to chapter 13 and gone back. But they stopped at chapter 6. I could say, okay, because that's still before Rasa-lila. Chapter 6. So no, we only want to hear what Prabhupada said. We don't, whatever, different philosophies. So if someone today, after 40, whatever it is, 45 years of ISKCON, I'm curious, because I don't think I'll be alive, whatever. But, in 30 years from now, now you're in the second canto, and Vrindavan, third canto, whatever. So maybe 30 years from now, I'll get the 10th canto. Okay, we did two verses, 10th canto, chapter 1. Okay, back to canto 1. I mean, it seems a little odd.
Yeah.
I'm just being logical. Yes, it's true. In Prabhupada's time, no one gave classes on Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes in public. Maybe they would read privately and discuss. And no one today is doing it, and I'm not doing it.
You mentioned that for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the qualification is like so hard. And what qualification do you need actually for hearing Rasa Lila?
Lobha. Interest. Greed. Look at look at that whole chapter. I don't have those quotes committed to memory I could share with you. Where Prabhupada said several verses, he said, I have that pamphlet. If you can wait 1 minute, I'll go upstairs and give you a pamphlet, which has those quotes, I think they're there, about, it's very nice, it's from Krishna Bhagavata, it tells you what chapter. It's very clear, the Prabhupada said, if someone is coming in a proper, he says like this, if a devotee is coming in a proper sampradaya, and he's following rules and regulations, and he's Krishna conscious, then he may speak about Radha Krishna's pastimes. And if anyone hears these pastimes from such a qualified person, even though he's a mundane personality, he will get purified and elevated. This is in the Krishna book. So Prabhupada is not saying we can't. When you say, Prabhupada did not forbid, it didn't go on, but he said, okay, are you Krishna conscious? Are you in the right sampradaya? So I had read that years ago, and then I spoke some, I gave classes, and it was 2012, last Purushottam. I gave classes on Rasa Lila, chapters of the Bhagavatam. But I only discussed 9 verses. Krishna plays his flute, the gopis come out and meet him, and he says, what are you doing here? You should go home. And that was it. So I didn't discuss the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, even though that was on television. It was on Indian television, spiritual TV. Many millions of people. So I'll give you those quotes because it'd be nice, you can have that. So definitely, and the right time, place, and circumstance, Prabhupada would allow it. And as I saw that purport, no one ever discussed this with me, as So I read that purport from Krishna book, and I got inspired by that to discuss these pastimes with, selected audience. And I said, I'm coming in on a proper sampradaya, and I'm somewhat Krishna conscious. And so are you following all the, if he's following all the principles. Because what Prabhupada didn't like is that people, what he didn't like is that the professional people, maybe devotees of some sort, but they're Brahmins, etc., and they're not very well behaved. They maybe don't even follow any what we call regular principles. And they're only speaking on the Bhagavatam to make money. Lectures, like these public lectures, big pandals and thousands of people. And they especially speak on the Rasa Lila, because Radha and Krishna, man and woman, things are very attractive. And so then they speak on these things, and then they make a lot of money. It's a popular subject. And so Prabhupada didn't like that, and who would like it? No one likes it. But it's not that someone who's qualified can't speak. And in Prabhupada's own words, he's saying that. Somebody should speak about these pastimes. They should be heard. Otherwise, why are the books there? Why did if it was such a dangerous and prohibited book, why did Prabhupada even translate the Bhagavatam? Because the essence of the Bhagavatam, the sara, the essence of the Bhagavatam is the Rasa-lila. And it says in that very chapter, which Prabhupada agrees in his purports, you can see in Krishna book, anyone who hears this, even a conditioned soul, a materialistic person, a conditioned soul, hears about Krishna embracing the gopis, putting his hand on their breasts, putting his hand on their thighs, kissing them. It's right there. He will get purified. Prabhupada's own words. He's not saying, he doesn't write there in the Krishna book, no one should read this, no one should give class. It doesn't say anything like that. You're saying it's a fact, it's an observable historical fact that yes, no one gave class on the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in public or in a temple when Prabhupada was here. I agree. But I don't agree that Prabhupada would not allow us to speak on these pastimes when the time is right and the right conditions and the right audience and the right speaker. It's like this. Gaur Premanandi.